This is Candace Wilson from Lummi Nation, and I have Freddie Lane here. He is a cultural ambassador of Lummi Nation, and he has an upcoming event that he will be journeying on, and we're going to find out what that journey is all about. So, good afternoon, Freddie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good.
Tell me about the totem journey.
Well, since 2002, I've been traveling with Jewel James and the House of Tears Carvers. It began back in, 2002 with the Healing Pole journey that went to the survivors and the families of the victims of 9/11. And so over the years, I think this will be my ninth totem pole journey, traveling with Jewel. And the journey is called Quahoy, We Draw the Line. And this journey is very special because it's going to be a traveling museum exhibit with videos, of course, that I made because I'm the videographer on the journey. And it's going to feature Jewel's totem pole. You can also find out about all of our upcoming stops at Our Shared Responsibility on our Facebook page, Our Shared Responsibility, A Totem Pole Journey. And that has all the stops and all the places and people we'll be standing with, from the Sierra Club to those fighting Kinder Morgan up in Vancouver. On Friday the 13th, we'll be in Vancouver. Saturday, October 14th. Will be in Seattle, and then in Tacoma on Sunday, October 15th, down near the Foss Sea Waterway. And then on Monday, we'll be in Vancouver, USA. And then Tuesday, October 17th, I believe, we'll be in Portland, Oregon. Again, this is with the Quahoy, We Draw the Line. It's our Lummi Totem Pole Journey for 2017. It's going to be a lot of, I mean, you know, the power behind this journey, and I can't even say power, but the sacredness that comes with this journey is that all the way across in our West Coast tour, from Portland, we just head straight to Pittsburgh, and Quahoy will be a traveling art museum exhibit for the next 3 years. Again, its first stop is at the Carnegie Museum of Natural History, which is like the fifth most prestigious museum in the country.
Wow.
And it'll stay there, I believe, for 6 months, and then it travels to Princeton, New Jersey, where it'll be on display there for another 6 months. And so this is really kicking off this, I guess it's, you'd call it an experimental movement. You know, people think of museums, when you walk into a museum, you see these different objects of dead culture, so to speak. But, you know, we've been here for the last 5,000 years. Since the Great Flood here at Lummi. And so we're,
Time immemorial.
Yeah. So we've got a long way to go with our upcoming journey. This will be a lot of, the great thing about this journey too is that it opens up with a museum curators conference in Pittsburgh, and it's going to be a pretty remarkable moment to stand with you know, all these museum curators and directors from museums from throughout the world. And so it's really going to be a challenge to do this. And wow, wouldn't you just know, here is Master Carver Jewel James himself.
Well, hello, Jewel. It's great to see you. If we have the chance, the opportunity here to share about the upcoming totem journey.
Well, I'm glad that you're able to meet with Fred Lane. You know, Fred really does a lot of coordination, a lot of video recording and audio recording of our journeys, you know, and I'm not sure exactly how much he was able to give you in regards to information, but we really look forward to finishing the pole. We're hollowing it out right now, and then we're fixing a cover plate so that after it's hollow, that the plate will fit perfectly, so you'd never know that there's a hollow spot. But the idea of hollowing the log is to make sure it doesn't crack as much. You know, pressure's all in the heart. But it's all painted. We've had some great painters. There are really dedicated young ladies that came here day after day, even in the rain, working. You know, so we look forward to going up into Vancouver, then Seattle, Tacoma, and then down Vancouver, Washington area, and then into Portland. And then we'll, myself and my brother Doug and brother Fred Lane here, will be heading to Pittsburgh. And then there'll be another gathering there outside in Pittsburgh for all the activists, local activists.
October 23rd. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the and then date then there. We'll spend a couple of days getting everything into the Carnegie Museum where the Anthropocene Conference is taking place. And we'll have a presentation along with several other prominent tribal leaders from across the country, Sioux Nation, Tsleil-Waututh Nation, people coming from all over to participate in the idea that we have to be activists to save the world. The world's dying around us, and mankind is extremely destructive. And so we will do a presentation, but the totem pole and all the other artifacts that have been shared, including some by Fred Lane and others, will be on display at the Carnegie Museum for several months. It'll go to Princeton and Harvard and several other museums. I believe it's going to be on tour for a minimum of 3 years. And then the pole will come home to Orcas Island. It'll be raised over at the museum or the library at Orcas Island. Mm-hmm. And so helping work with the people of Orcas Island for saving the salmon, saving the whales.
What's all on the totem pole again? I know the beautiful top has the Indian in the moon.
Well, we have a 9-foot bear on the bottom, and it has various signs of the salmon. As you know, the Lummi Nation is extremely concerned about their ability to prevent further damages to the various stocks of salmon coming through the different rivers. We have some, like the Chinook, are endangered, the Hood's Canal Chum are endangered, and some of the silver salmon are endangered. And we're having problems because the state and the federal governments are trying to defund the hatchery operations. At the same time, prop up Atlantic salmon net pens. You know, and so this is all a concern for us. And the thing about the bear is that it symbolizes part two of the salmon story, salmon woman story, where bear went in and damaged the salmon and as a consequence changed their life patterns forever and changed their relationship with the salmon as well as the spawning habitat. Above the bear is four human beings. They're 3 feet tall. Two are kneeling and the other ones are squatting on the right and the left, symbolizing the four races, you know. And yeah, they're painted, you know, the skin's all the same because we're all same, really. We're all brothers after all. And we just kind of distinguish the red, black, white, and yellow by the way they painted their face. But the whole idea is that mankind has been very destructive to the habitat of the bears, the habitat of the salmon, and all the other species. You know, so the Indian in the Moon, it talks about harmonies. You know, it tells a story, and you know, we've included that image before on the National Library of Medicine poll, and in that case it was a medicine woman, and that's an Algonquin myth. But the late Vi Hilbert, treasurer of the tribes here in the Pacific Northwest, she had 96 different star child myths that attached to it. And so we use some different symbols, but those symbols have myths tied to them. And they have a message to our to us about what is the relationship we have with the world around us. We're hoping to cause a unity of voice, unity of spirit, and a unity of commitment to action by going on this journey.
And protecting all of our sacred sites and Kuchikin and reminding of the Black Snake, the Kinder Morgan pipeline. That's a big battle up in Vancouver. And then even the LNG one that's trying to be proposed here, just bringing that awareness is really, really a powerful movement.
Well, we just really encourage the public to really pay attention to some of the announcements. I know they're having a gathering in Seattle tomorrow to raise awareness and raise funding to help the people up that are being hurt along the Kinder Morgan Pipeline and the tar sands, help them continue their battle and help them stand up and continue to advocate the stopping of the destruction of the earth and the severe damage that those pipelines will have, not just to the land and the peoples that are along the route, but also to the streams, the creeks, and the Fraser River system. But yeah, you know, we've worked with the Dakotas, the Sioux, and they're concerned about the Missouri River, you know, and we worked with the Columbia River tribes, and they're concerned about the Columbia River, you know, and you know, wherever we go, there's Friends of the Earth or there's river protectors, citizens that are standing up and uniting across all racial boundaries. We all know that if we don't unite, if we don't work together, then we're basically authorizing them to continue their activities that are damaging the world around us. The problem with corporations is that they're greedy. They don't have real values like a human being. They're an artificial entity. And because of that, they can come in and conduct activities that are extremely destructive to the air, the water, and the land. And they're going to go home. They're going to leave. They're going to go to another state or another country. They're just going to reap the rewards of profit and leave the Superfund sites to the citizens that have to live in the aftermath of their activity. And so our advocacy is for us to all unite in our voice and hold the politicians accountable that are advocating relaxing the regulations, you know, and the controls. You know, and we're living in a time where Trumpism is out of control, you know, and they're doing everything to basically destroy the world around us. You know, so if they're not taking up all the wealth they can, they're destroying everything behind them, you know, and that's unacceptable. You know, and we believe that the people have to stand up and advocate best interest for the next generations. You know, this environment's been loaned to us. It's on loan to us. We don't own it. You can't own it. It's owned by future generations. And our duty is to protect what we have around us and leave it in a better status than when we found it. Otherwise, we're cheating the future generations.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Joel. That's phenomenal. So who can help? Who is going to protect Mother Earth? And how can they get in touch with the journey, the totem journey, Quel Hoy, our shared responsibility, our sacred obligation?
Fred? The journey has had our shared responsibility, a totem pole journey, and that's our Facebook page. We'll carry events live, and people can also participate if they want to donate at totempolejourney.com. And, you know, okay. That always helps Jewel out. You know, these are big undertaking.
Definitely.
Gas is real, just events for our hosts sometimes, you know, it tends to be a lot. And I'm not saying that this isn't a thankless job, but, you know, even at home, you know, it's tough to get support from even our own tribe. And so I really applaud Jewel and Uncle Doug and the House of Tears Carvers for this effort, just to educate. I remember Winona LaDuke, when I first met her and interviewed her, and I remember she said, "You Lummi people, you are world renowned as earth keepers. You guys are known throughout the whole universe as keepers of Mother Earth. You guys stand up for the salmon and for the four-legged creatures and the insects that have no voice, for our relatives that fly the skies. You know, we all remember that we were once animals, you know, us." Mm-hmm. You know, us human beings, and we come from the different clans. I come from the Eagle Clan, you know, and so we have to remember these things and remember where we come from and remember that we are survivors of the Great Flood.
We all are.
We are, and I always remember that, you know where you come from. And so this isn't just a Lummi effort. This isn't just a Tulalip or a Swinomish or a Sioux effort. This is all of our communities coming together. And I think that's the real spiritual power of protecting our earth, because You know, you just became a grandma. You know, Jules. You know, we all have future generations, nephews and nieces, and families that are gonna come, and how are they gonna look at us? We're the first generation to recognize global climate change, and we're the last generation that can do something about it.
Thank you for the time today. The messages that these journeys carry for our people. It's about protecting Mother Earth and doing our part moving forward for generations to come. So Haishka, thank you, ma'am, both for your time today, and thank you, Brother Doug, for the journey, the work that you guys do. Please be safe, be careful, and know that you're in our hearts while you journey. Haishka. Yes, ma'am.